Well, if you have your Bibles, thank you for that song. I enjoyed it. If you have your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. And I put up there 11 through 22, but we're probably really not going to cover all them verses. Get to be a little different of a sermon. And I'm a little nervous about it. And like I said, but I do want to preach it. And I'm going to put the title up there. And I kept the title from last week, the first point, the picture of salvation. And I'll just say this, you basically could preach the same sermon I did last week with this second part on verses 11 through 22. It basically can almost be identical to the first 10 verses, okay? So we didn't really want to do that. Well, I didn't really want to do that with Daryl. You didn't want to either, right? You know. Although some people might not know what, do you remember what I preached last week? Because I can't, be honest with you. Not really. I mean, kind of. So we really, I probably couldn't get away with it. So, I'll show you in a minute what really kind of brought out to me. And I kind of went a little, like, you know, took a couple of verses and went with it a little different direction. I don't normally do that. And, but anyway, it's discriminating, I'm going to try to say I practice it, but yeah. Indiscriminating love, okay? And I know, and I'll be honest with you, I'm going to say this, it's not in my note. When we talk about loving people and love, the thing I almost steer away from it because the word love's been hijacked, hasn't it? And people making it mean things and it doesn't mean so, because I think you know me well enough to know what I mean when I say we're supposed to love people. We're going to talk about that today. However, we do sometimes tend to be discriminating in our love. And I'll explain that to you more as we go. But anyway, let me read. This is actually from a book that called Happiness Happens by Max Licato, which is what we're doing on Wednesday night. So if you're not coming out to that, I encourage you to come. So anyway, really good. But in that book, he quoted a lady named Hannah Smith, and she's the author of The Christian Secret of a Holy Life, okay? She was raised in a church going home, but years before becoming to cry, she recorded her impression of Christian in her journal, okay? Now, I'll be honest with you, it's going to be a little cynical, but I want you to listen to what she said. Some look almost as if they think it is a sin to smile or to speak. Or speak a pleasant word. It appears to me that religion is supposed to make one happy, not miserable and disagreeable. Instead of a cheerful voice, there is a long, drawing, melancholy whisper. Instead of a love and concern for those who have not yet felt the path of life. Oh, so I'm going to say that again because it's kind of what we're talking about. Instead of a love and concern for those who have not yet felt the path, there is a whisper. There is a cold standoffishness and feeling of I am better than you, instead of a winning gentleness and loving kindness to those around them. There is a kind of a hidden snappiness and a continual comparing oneself with them, followed by a disagreeable dictatorship. And so instead of a noble, beautiful, humble, happy religion, I am often pictured to myself, I see a gloomy, proud, and narrow-minded. Now, she might be being a little unfair, but this journal entry from an unsaved perspective holds more truth than we would like to admit. Now, please, I get so scared preaching. I don't mind being narrow-minded when it comes to sin. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't want to be just accept all for all, okay? So, that's my worry today, but that's not what I'm preaching. Yet, how many times, and I said it last Sunday and this Sunday, how many times do we tend not to love people who we don't like? And now, I'm going to say this to you now, I'm talking about why. Loving someone And like, that doesn't mean that you accept what they do, and it also doesn't mean that you stay in a situation that's bad for you, okay? I mean, someone being beat up, and a spouse being beat up, they shouldn't stay in that situation, okay? Alright, but they still should be loving toward that person, but you understand. So loving don't mean you just take everything on chin and get, you know, so anyway. I guess the devil really is just working in my mind and worrying about all the things that he could apply to you. Yet, we're going to see here, we should have an indiscriminating love. We should not be discriminating in our love. Here's the thing. Most Christians love the parable of the Good Samaritan. Yet, most of us, when in that situation, go to the other side. And to be honest, we go to the other side. Do you visit someone in the hospital that you don't like? No. My point exactly. Do we send a thanking of you card to someone who we don't like? No. My point exactly. See, I mean, let's be honest. Because we don't like something about a person, we usually go to the other side. I mean, it can be as simple as not smiling at someone, not greeting someone, or it can be even worse. But here's the thing. We have misapplied being separated from the world to mean being stuck up and rude. And it doesn't matter who the person is, we never should use the love of Christ to be stuck up and rude. Or our privilege in Christ that we're saved to be stuck up and rude. And a jerk. That's what I'm talking about. Matt McCato, I said this Wednesday night, if you're not coming, it's really good. He said this, the ungreeted individual never think they ignored me because they love me. Just the opposite. We have misimplied and misinterpreted hating sin. We have misapplied being intolerable to other people's sin, but not our own sin. We hate everyone else's sin, but we don't hate our own sin. We have misinterpreted hating. Misinterpreted by hating people. We have sadly become a church many times that has contempt for people, yet we coddle our own sin. See, I'm fine with being against sin, but the problem we have got where we hate people. We hate people. That's sin. That's not right. We have misunderstood how a child of God acts toward others. Just because we're children of the King of Kings doesn't mean we can treat people with rudeness, with arrogant, elitism attitude. That's not how salvation behaves. Yet many of us, we're not like the Good Samaritan. We're like the parable of the unforgiving debtor in Matthew 18. Don't you remember? He had a debt he couldn't pay. He went and he begged the Lord to forgive him, and the Lord forgave him. Yet he turned around and went out and found someone who owed him, let's say like $10, and he went and forgave him. And remember? And Jesus didn't like that. And that's what we do. We have been forgiven. We've been given grace, and we've been shown love. Yet many times we don't want to show that love. I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's true. That's not how salvation behaves. Now you may say, what does that have to do with our text? Well, I'll show you. Look at chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentile in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hand. In other words, the Jews, who were a privileged people, who were God's chosen people, who had the light of the world, called these people, and we'll get to it later, and called them uncircumcised. Look at verse 14. For he is our peace, who hath made both Jew and Gentile one, and have broken down the wall, middle wall of partition between us. See, if you read them two verses and you start studying, you know before I tell you this, that there was, in the Old Testament, there was a division between Jews and Gentiles. We understand that in this church at some point there was disunity. It appears that these Christians were struggling We call it favoritism. We call it discrimination. We know that discrimination is just unjust treatment of a different category of people. We know that favoritism, what a lot of us do. Favoritism is the practice of giving unfair, preferential treatment to one person or group at the expense of another. You've probably seen that. You've never been in school and a certain kid with the right last name don't get in trouble. That's favoritism. And we've been guilty of that sometimes, even as Christians. The love of Christ should never call us to treat people in an unloving manner. Now, I'm not saying that we are to hold hands with them and compromise. But again, the word love been hijacked to mean this. And for you to love me, Brother Daryl, you have to agree with me. Okay? Well, me and Brother Daryl can love each other, but we don't always have to agree on everything. That's the problem, that most people, when they say love, they mean you agree with what I believe. No, we and you, on biblical things, I can still love you without necessarily agreeing with you, okay? They say it's impossible, but it's not. Okay? Compassion never not mean compromise. The problem is many times we allow our preference, our principle, and even biblical command that to stand against sin as a reason to treat people in an un-Christ-like way. Okay? You should never do that. That isn't how salvation behaves, which is a problem, which brings us to number one here, and I'll explain more when we go. And our problem, Christians can be guilty of not being compassionate. And to be honest about that, we can be guilty of not being compassionate. The first thing here is the problem in the church. I've already read the verse 11, but let me give you something here. The philosophy of the Jews, okay? The Jews view the Gentile as inferior. The Jews were God's chosen people, okay? And all that meant was that they had the message of Christ and the message of God that came through their nation, okay? They were privileged. It's something they had a special thing. They had the truth. Well, you're not a Jew, but most of you are not, and you might be, but most of you are Gentiles here today. But you, if you're saved, had the truth. The Jews had the truth. But what the Jews did, and they had the truth, and they said, now that I have the truth, and now that I know what's right, I am better than you. And that's exactly what happened. And obviously, circumcision was a visible sign of their historic relationship with God. The Jews took great pride in the circumcision, because to them it was a sign that they were superior. This attitude caused them to discriminate and not be compassionate, okay? We see the proof of this in verse 11. I said it already, but the word uncircumcised, it was a term of contempt, a religious slur, if you will, for the Jews to call them Gentiles uncircumcised. Mark Pickerly said that two words identify their former place, Gentile uncircumcised. Both are words that the Jews used of the Gentiles with contempt. Okay, and so why are you saying this? Do we not do the same thing? Do we not sometimes look at other people? By the way, that was never God's intent for the Jews to be isolated. I think I'll read it here in a minute. He never meant for them to be isolated. He meant for the Jews to be a nation that shined out to all other nations and said, hey, this is how you're supposed to live. God is wanting you to follow. And we see it in the Bible. We see Gentiles converting to Judaism before the Gospels, right? Same thing now. You may have the truth, but God never meant for our salvation to make us feel or make us think that we're superior. It was never meant to for us to go around and be an exclusive little group and inside these four walls and be like I said, I've said already, I've said it a couple weeks ago, I said it today. I mean, what do you do when you see someone you don't like? Or is it on the right path? Contempt or compassion? See, the thing is, we're not much different than Jews as a whole. I mean, they had the Old Testament covenant, and they said, and what do we do? Well, they're wrong. Bless God, they're wrong. Yeah, you're right. But if that's your attitude, so are you. You say, what do you mean? I'm a Gentile. See, the Gentiles were object of Jewish contempt. This contempt, this discrimination has crept into our church, and it has theirs as well. I mean, think about it. How many times, I know I'm like a broken record, because I said it a couple weeks ago, and I said it again, but what is your reaction when it comes to someone who's not living the way you think they should live? How do you feel, and how do you treat someone when you meet someone in Walmart who you would say looks like a weirdo? Don't tell me you like this parable of the Good Samaritan. Let's just get honest. And I'm not going to find what I think a weirdo is, but I'll let you, what do you do when you run into someone who you think is a weirdo? Do you love them? Now, I'm not saying you should say that you agree with them. I'm saying, do you love them? Do you smile? Do you say, hey, do you need a hand? So let's just get real here. All I do is a God, you don't believe what I saw today at Walmart. I just can't believe they're lost. Goodness. Well, maybe they're lost. They might be lost. You could be a weirdo and be saved, so don't get me wrong. But what if they're lost? Will we ever go out in the woods and be like, that person's lost? No. We need to have compassion. Here's the thing. It had crept into the church, and I'm not going to take the time to read the verses, but Acts 10:28, Galatians 2:11, and I'll read this one though. We see that James condemns this. Chapter 2:1-4, my brother, have not the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of person, for they're coming to your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and I come to a poor man in vile raiment. So let's stop there. So if you go to Walmart and you see a guy who's normal looking, but then you see a guy who looks weird, and you say, don't treat them different. Yeah, do we treat them different? Yeah. And we say things like, well, if it's called it sin, bless God, I'm right. No, you're not right. Your relationship with Christ never had an excuse to treat someone in an unloving way. He says, and yet you have respect to him that wears the gay clothing, and say to him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou and sit at my footstool. Are you not partial in yourselves, and become judge of evil thoughts? He said, don't show favoritism. Don't discriminate. Yeah, that's what we do. I mean, I can give example after example. But you know what I'm saying. Yet many believers are guilty of discrimination. They're guilty of being a respecter of person. We're guilty of not showing compassion. I should have put this on the board, but I'm going to read it. I know it's long, and you probably not get half of it, but I really like it. You need to read it. I'll show it to you later. The guy said, of all the Christian truths which are confessed in word, that which is most outrageously denied indeed. So, he said, what is so predominantly in the Word of God, and we know to be true, like the Good Samaritan, the truth of the Good Samaritan, yet, and it's outrageously denied indeed, there's not a Christian church or a Christian nation in which the world would believe heartily in the atonement and the extinction of privilege, okay? So what he's saying here, that we know that the atonement, Jesus Christ teaches us that there's no such thing as privilege. You know, I'm no better than Miss Jean. Oh, someday, but not every day. Okay, so we know that atonement, no matter what we have, we know that Jesus Christ died on the cross teaching that I don't have any more privilege than her. We know that as a Christian nation, but then it said this. We know that it makes everyone the same. The spirit of privilege, in spite of the cross, is rooted everywhere, even among Christian men. What he's saying here is that the idea we know there's no such thing as privilege, that I'm better than you or you're better than me, yet it's rooted in most Christian people. The idea of the spirit of elitism, the spirit of privilege, the spirit of superiority. I'm superior than you. And he's saying, let me ask you, are you guilty of that? Are you guilty? No, I'm not guilty of that. I am. I tend to treat people with contempt who I think are stupid. I tend to treat people with contempt who I don't think have common sense. I tend to treat people with contempt who I think are lazy and selfish. I tend to have contempt for people who, I just won't go on because you'll probably think less of me if I keep going on with my list. But I mean, it's real easy for me to think less of people, or not less, well, it is less, but I in my own life, tend to treat people with contempt and take my shopping cart to the other side of Walmart when it comes to certain people. Man, I don't want to get being trashy. We were not rich growing up, but I was never a trashy person. I don't understand that. So it's easy for me to roll my eyes and think I'm superior. My reaction is not compassion. Yet, the person who you avoid, the person who you're rude to, the person you won't speak to, the person that you don't think is worthy of your compassion, God truly, deeply loves and values and died for. So the weirdest person that you think in your mind, somebody who don't agree with you politically. That's a big one for a lot of people in the Christian. I'm not talking to them because they don't agree with me politically. I'm not going to be kind to them. Really? Really? Doesn't sound very Christ-like to me, does it, you? I mean, it sounds kind of like an oxymoron. You mean to tell me that you're going to, and that's what we do. It's bad enough that we discriminate, but then we use the Bible to justify it. Well, I'm not talking to that person. They don't believe the Bible. They're totally wrong. Maybe they are. Maybe they are totally wrong. But it's kind of an oxymoron to let your relationship with Christ cause you to be prideful to where you'll be un-Christ-like the others. That's exactly what Jesus was doing. And that's not a relationship, y'all. That's a religion. That's not a relationship with Christ. That's a religion. The problem is that it's a sin in itself, but it's also a sin because of what the sin calls you to do. John MacArthur said this. Israel was called to be a vessel through which the knowledge of God will be spread to the entire world. Unfortunately, Israel never filled that calling. She preferred to condemn the Gentiles rather than to witness to them. Where are we at? Hey, the last person you saw you didn't like, did you witness to them? I think I might have some. I need to get these out there, but let me see if I got one. Yeah, I've got a business card, and you can have them. I've got a big stack of them. Let's sound like Miss Jean. I'm at Walmart. I like to cash in. I just can't wait to check out and go tell my friend about this weirdo. I like to, hey, how you doing today? Hey, here's your card. If you need something, let me know. We'd love for you to come to church. And you can do more than that. But you're never going to witness someone. You're never going to make a difference for Christ if you have contempt. I'm not saying I agree with what she's doing. If she's doing something wrong, I'm not saying that. That's not me. That's not me compromising. That's showing the love of Christ. That's showing the love of Christ. You know, we like to get together and tell a story about who saw the most outrageous person or who's doing the most outrageous thing and how we're against that. And you know I'm against all that. You know that. I probably never preach to someone else because they might think, oh, he's a liberal, all this and that. And no, I'm not. But you know I'm right. We have been called to be the light. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. And the seed that says on the hill cannot be hidden. You need to be a light and a candle and put it under a bushel. You can't be the light if you have contempt for people. I'm gonna say that again. You cannot be the light for Christ if you have contempt for people. I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about people. You have to have compassion toward people to be the light of the world. By the way, John 3:17, Jesus said, "For God sent His Son, not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through Him might be saved." Now, judgment and punishment of sin will take place. But when Jesus came, He didn't come to condemn, but He came to reveal a way for them to be saved from that sin. You understand? So, maybe right here, did I put it here? See, sins need to be called sin. But you personally trying to punish someone by being rude and hateful isn't a biblical way to treat people. Say someone is living in a sinful lifestyle. All you're trying to do is punish them for their sin. That's not your job. You're not called to be a vessel to punish sin. You're here to be a light. Well, then that's what we do. Let's be honest. I'm not going to talk to them. They're not getting my... I'm not going to share the gospel with them. They don't deserve it. That's really what you're saying. Because if you can't get to know them, how are you ever going to witness to them? So instead you're saying, they don't deserve heaven. Wait a minute. That's not a stand against sin. That is a sin. That actually not standing against sin. That is a sin. Here's the thing. We need to get a handle on that. Why? Because people are in dire need of salvation. We see the problem in the church, but in letter B, we see here the plight of the world. Look at verse 12. It says here, he has some phrases here. Paul says, they talk to the Gentiles, that there was a time, without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of the promise, having no hope, and without God in the world, okay? So there's five phrases there, and I'll just give you an explanation. First, they were without Christ. They were without citizenship. They're without a covenant. Like, Jews had all this. They had a covenant. The Gentiles didn't have the covenant. They didn't have any confidence or hope. And they were without God. Although, there's no more difference between Jews and Gentiles. The difference between them was God dealing with them. All five of these phrases point to the fact that before Christ, the Gentiles were cut off from God. The Gentiles needed someone to be a beacon of light for them. Hey, them phrases describe every person today that you come in contact with who doesn't know Jesus Christ. They're lost. They're lost. I wonder if we could see them that way. How the Jews who were to be the beacon of light, but instead of loving God and others, they became lovers of themselves and despised others. I'm going to read that again, because that describes a lot of us, whether we like it or not. The Jews, and I came up with this in my life, quote, this is not a quote, this is me. This is my intelligence. No, anyway. I'm joking, okay? Some of y'all don't get my joke. I'm joking, okay? Some of y'all are going to wonder, why he's so prideful. I'm joking. The Jews wanted to be a beacon of light, but instead of loving God and honor, they loved themselves and despised others. Is that not what we do? Well, we become lovers of ourselves and we despise others instead of loving God and loving others. And Jews, what the Jews are guilty of, the church today is guilty of as well. Everyone who you despise and can't stand is someone that God loves, and if they're not saved, need Christ. We call unsaved people lost. They're lost. Let's say they do look different. Well, just looking different is not wrong. I don't have a problem. I personally don't really care what you look like most of the time. There's some people, I'm not going to give you any analogy. I was saying that I'm saying as one person, but I've seen the people who look really, really, and they seem to be more creative in their style than me. But a lot of that's not a sin in itself, to be honest with you. A lot of it's not. That doesn't really bother me. But let's say there is something that they're doing that is right, that they're wrong. Well, they're lost. They're lost. The reason they're doing the things they're doing is they're lost. If someone was out in the woods, lost, let's say they didn't follow good wisdom, they're still lost. Will we have compassion for them? Or will we do this? Well, Sonny got lost, it's his fault, and I ain't going to help him. If you go, I'm this way. If he's going to be that stupid, he better be tough. Well, sometimes I'm not saying that's never needed, maybe in some situation when it comes to learning about life, but they're not tougher than hell. They're not going to out-tough hell. No, for the most part, we would have compassion for someone lost in the wood. We be discerned. Even though they've done something, maybe they've done something stupid, we still have compassion. But we're not seeing it that way. We see somebody that we don't like, we don't like what their beliefs. I think I got it somewhere. I may have already went past it. But, you know, we don't like their values. We don't like their political stand. We don't like this and that. And we just, we're left pretending that they are lost. Or not say they're lost. We need to have compassion. Now, they may reject that, of course. I mean, our greatest command is to love God and love others as ourselves. Love is a big deal. I mean, the problem is because love's been hijacked, we cannot preach this anymore. This is a problem. This is why the church is not full. Because we're not loving people. Like I said, all the time we love them is when it comes to them doors. And they look like we do. And they believe like we do. And they act like we do. And they have the same values that we do. Not too late then. We need to have compassion on the lost. We should be a voice of hope, not hostility. Now, that doesn't mean they're always going to take it that way. We can't help that part. We see here a problem. The bottom line, Christians, we can be guilty of not being compassionate. Number two is God's character. God is love. I mean, like, we can't get away from it. I mean, 1 John 4:16 says, and we have known and believed the love that God has in us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him. Letter A here, and I've already said it 10 times, but this is actually a point. God loves those we despise. I'm going back to the content. The Jews despise the Gentiles. Curtis Vaughn says that this angel was so intent on the Jewish contempt for the Gentile, and it was not even lawful for a Jew to assist a Gentile woman in her hour of childbirth. That's pretty mean, ain't it? That's what the Bible was, their principles. Well, I know you say, well, I'd never do that. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know what opportunity you're missing when you go to the other side of the road, the other side of the aisle, or when you don't smile. We talk about that, when you cannot smile and greet them. When you say, hey, man, you need help. Hey, my name is Will. What's your name? That's really how we're going to win people. I had some Jehovah's Witnesses knocking on my door yesterday. I'll be honest with you. It freaked me out when I was in the middle of cooking breakfast. And it was kind of weird. Like, man, I've never been on this side of it. Oh. That's really not how you're going to win people. You're going to win people by loving them. I'm going to be honest with you. Why? That's what God said to them. God said to love them. We're forgetting that part. We want to show the law to them, but we're not showing them love. They said we believe the same thing, and I finally said, y'all don't believe Jesus is God. I said, you don't believe Jesus is God. They didn't want to talk after that. I didn't want to either. You know, the Jews despise the Gentiles. But listen to this. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So we see that Jesus is the evidence of God's love, right? Now go to verse 13 in our text. But now in Christ Jesus, ye, that's a Gentile, who sometime will fall off or may nigh by the blood of Christ. You know what that tells me? That the one that Jews despise, God loved. No, don't stop there. Look at verse 16. And that he, that's Christ, might reconcile both, that's the Jews and the Gentiles, unto God. And don't stop there. Verse 19. Now, therefore, ye, talking about the Gentiles, are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens. Hey, here's the deal. You want to know something? God loved them. Oh, and the Jews despise the Gentiles. But just because you despise them, doesn't change the fact that God loves them. And by the way, God's rich in his love. In Ephesians 2:4, we've said this last week. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us. Psalm 86:15, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion. Full of compassion. I'm afraid we got our torch and pitchforks out way too much. And you know me. You know I'm against. I'm not compromising. You know that. I hadn't yet. I might one day. I don't know. I don't want to be arrogant. But you know I'm not saying, you know, let's just hold hands to everybody. You know that's not what I'm saying. But too many times, we got our pitchforks out, and all we're doing is having a little cheerleader rally about how great we are, really. Amen. That's right. You know, I've noticed that people don't own amen. I don't amen at all, but usually. But if you do, no one amens sins that they're guilty of. We only amen the sins that they're guilty of. The Jews despise the Gentiles just not loving them. Yet, we see that God did love them. I'm afraid the church if we're not careful, we love only those that are like us, who believe the same way, who have the same political views, who have the same value, who have even the same financial class, who have the same style, and like the same thing. Let's be honest, we get as petty as that. Well, I don't like what I like. Let's be honest. When we get there, let me ask you, does this describe your compassion? Can your love be described this way? Do you treat people who you despise in a loving manner? God loves all the people who we despise. I think we need to make sure we realize that a person that you despise is a person who's made in the image of God. And God loves that person. And you might not despise them if you see them that way. The next time you see somebody and you think weird, I put that in quotes, because just because they're weird, you don't mean they're weird. But what is normal? I think normal is what I think normal is. But anyway, let's say they're wrong. Let's say they're wrong. Let's say they are wrong. They're still made in the image of God, and God loves them. And that means that we accept what they do, but it means we're supposed to show love to them. God not only loves the one he despises, he loves you. That's letter B here. God loves you. So what do you mean? In God's eyes, I want you to get this. You are just as filthy as the person that you despise. You're not better. Your sin is no less offensive to God in comparison to someone else's. You are a sinner just like the person that you despise. Romans 3:23 applies to you as well. For all have sinned. And also, Romans 5:8, but God committed his love toward us, and included you. And while that you are yet sinner, Christ died for you. You say, what's the point? Here's the point. Get off your high horse. Get off your high horse. You say, some of you may not, I don't know, but if we're not careful, we tend to not even smile at people that we think are winning. I can get real honest today about it, but I'm not going to. But with the world, the way it's going in our country, there are a lot of people who are starting to do things that are very uncomfortable and very wrong. But you're not going to speak to them? Okay, I'll say this. I'll get mad at me with you. Just say you say two homosexual couple. Are you going to frown at them or are you going to smile at them? Smile at them is not a sin, you know. Smile and say, I don't want you to. Uh-oh. See, we discriminate in our love. You say, well, they're wrong. Yeah, biblically, I believe they're wrong, yes. According to the Bible. But we're not supposed to love? We're not supposed to, well, again, love doesn't mean compromise. You know, we're not supposed to be kind to them. We're not supposed to, hey, how you doing? See now, I think you realize what I'm saying. Our treatment is wrong. Our treatment is wrong. And I can say this, we don't have a problem with adultery. When we see people who are shacked up all the time, we how you doing? Hey! But, homosexuality, that's different. It's a sin, ain't it? So, I mean, I really don't know what to say. I think I made my point. Are we going to discriminate like that? I'm standing against sin. No, you're not. No, that's not standing against sin. You being ugly to someone because they're a homosexual is not standing up against sin. I'll say it clearly. It's not standing up against sin. You're sinning by not being compassionate. The person who you despise may not deserve your compassion. But you didn't deserve God's compassion. If you're repulsed by a homosexual couple, God is more important with how you are. Think about it. and more repulsed by what you are. You're no more no less repulsive. Why? Because God don't put sin on any different level. He doesn't. Isaiah said, we're all as filthy rags. All. And Isaiah probably was a believer. And he probably was he was a prophet. He was a good person. Then he said, my righteousness is as filthy rags. And I'm using that one example to show that we do discriminate. We should love them. Now, again, we've got to define what love is, but we can say, hey, how you doing? We can smile. We don't have to go, That's not Christian. That's not Christ-like. I think we've taught ourselves that. That's what the Jews did. The Jews did just that. Quit being selective in your love. And in it a Christ type of love. Not loving those that you despise isn't right. I mean, and then other people you despise, it may not just be them. I'll give you another one. What if I said tomorrow we're going to have we got a thank you note for the diaper drive. What if I said we're going to take up goodies for people in jail? I bet some of y'all be in the grocery store and some of us say, hey, we're going to get something for the jailers, the criminals. They don't deserve that. See, babies deserve it. But criminals don't. Hey. I've never been in jail, but I've had family members in jail. See, we treat them with contempt. Don't we? See my point? What would happen if we show some love to people who didn't deserve love? I'm pretty sure that's what God said for us to do. Oh, see, our problem, Christians can be guilty of not being compassionate. We see God's character, God is love, and we see Jesus, number three, Jesus' example. Jesus was moved with compassion. In the letter A here is Jesus' actions. Matthew 9:36. But when he saw the multitude, oh, guess what? There were people in that multitude, there were people who weren't living right. There were people who weren't doing what we think they should do. He was moved with compassion. Matthew 14:14. And when Jesus went forth to Walmart, he had compassion. When Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and healed their sick. They were sick. I'll be honest with you, I don't like being around sick people. Get away from me! That's not what Jesus did. Mark 1:41. And Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and said to him, I will thou be clean. When Jesus was tired, he had compassion. When Jesus was dealing with selfish people, Jesus had compassion. When Jesus was busy, he had compassion. When Jesus was being arrested, he had compassion on somebody who was trying to arrest him. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, he had a criminal beside him that he was dying for. He had compassion. And right now, I guarantee you, maybe now, but if I said, we're going to take up goodies for the criminal, you're like, I don't deserve that. That's not Christ-like. I'm not saying turn a blind eye. I'm not saying turn them loose. I'm not saying that. Compassion. We discriminate in our compassion. Jesus loved those that weren't easy to love. By the way, the disciples weren't easy to love. Mary and Martha weren't always easy to love. I mean, they were hard to love. And Jesus taught us to do the same. Let it be here. It's Jesus' teaching. And then it's going to kind of conclude everything I'm saying. Jesus 6:32-35. For if you love them which love you, what thanks have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thanks have ye? For sinners also do even the same. By the way, so basically what we do a lot of time is no different than what sinners do. And you lend them of whom you hope to receive, what thanks have ye? For sinners also lend a sinner to receive. But love ye your enemy and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. and the reward shall be great. I wonder if we would apply that and we would see a difference in 2 or 3 months in this church. What if we all did what I model here with Miss Jean? Let's say Miss Jean is someone who I don't agree with. Instead of frowning, giving him, we said it 2 weeks ago, I said, give him a stink eye. Let's be honest, who have ever done that? No one? Okay, me, I've done that. Okay, how many of y'all done it in your heart? Anybody? No? Okay, thank you, finally. Thank you. What do I say? Hey, I don't agree. Hey, me, I'm not saying, let's say I don't agree with what she's doing. Hey, what if we do that every time we met someone like that? Just everybody, not just people we despise, everybody. Then we're going to come up with some conversation. We're going to build some relationship. They're going to start seeing that we're different because the other way not different. The other way not different. We might just see something change. John 13:34, a new commandment I gave to you, that you love one another as I've loved you. That you also love one another. By then, all men shall know that you are my disciple. It's kind of interesting, to be honest with you, Brother Darryl. It really challenged me a little bit. He didn't say, go around. Hey, you're sinning. You're sinning. Hey, not little. Hey, you need to come to church. You're going to hell. Now, I'm for that. That's not really what he said, right? He said, you'll know that you're my disciple if you love. All men will know that you're my disciple if you show love when you're at Walmart. When you show love when you're at the gas station. See, that's a lot harder to do. You know why? Because that's an everyday 24/7. In any compartmentalize the Great Commission. Just think about it. I mean, I'm getting somewhere. You know I am. That's how we're supposed to be. And we are not, I'm not always doing that. And I'm pretty sure some of you are not doing that either. You know what? I've linked to your conversations. Ha! I'm not calling you out personally, but I've linked to your conversations. I've linked to the attitude we have toward, people who don't agree with us politically. I've linked to some of your conversations about seeing people that you don't think look the way they should because they don't have a traditional look. By the way, being traditional is not a sin. Not being traditional is not a sin. Okay? And I've linked to the conversation about things that people who are living alternate lifestyles, they call it. And I've linked to your conversation. And I know you're guilty as well. You will know, they will know that who you are by your love. It's easy. So we'll go a little late. Brother Tim said the other day that I can go late. So if we're late for something, it's his fault. He said I could be late. He said I could go on, but I'm almost done. I appreciate that, Brother Tim. It's easy to be selective with whom you love or whom you're kind to. Let's be honest. It is. I'm not sized to. I'm saying it's true. I mean, especially when sometimes the people you don't like for a reason most of the time. Because they're not nice either. Okay? That's gonna be okay? I understand it. But that is what's supposed to make us different. That's what's supposed to make us different. Our love for others. And truly, an unconditional love. Basically, what you're saying is, God give me unconditional love, but I'm gonna have conditional love for people. I'm gonna love you on certain conditions. That's not Christianity. That's not Christ's love. See, they didn't know what I mean. By the way, that verse didn't say, they'll know you by your standards. And you know that I'm all about living standards, principle. You know that. I'm probably an ultra-conservative. You know that. That's not what he said. They don't know that you're a Christian by coming through the door back here. That's not what he said. And that's not what he said. By the way, you kind of interesting how most of the world, just because you go to church, that don't mean nothing to them. Because it really shouldn't. They'll know you. You'll make a difference by our love. I mean, I'm pretty sure 1 Corinthians 13 said, without love, it's just a tingling symbol. Ding, ding, ding. There's nothing to it. Here's the conclusion. We're dropping the ball. Oh, we think we're not, but we are. We ought to be compassionate to people. We can claim it, but the real question, can others claim it? Now, Brother, they might say, well, that Brother Will, He's narrow-minded. Blah, blah, he don't believe this and that, okay? But I know one thing. He's kind to me. I can't say they say that, but that's what it needs to say, you know what I mean? They might say, well, I don't agree with them, and they got some narrow-minded views, blah, 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 but it should end with this. Well, he's kind to me. He's kind. He shows up. If I need help, he'll help me. And so, and that needs to be your testimony. Here's the thing. Can people in your church claim it? Even here. Maybe in this church you got people you won't talk to. Can your family claim it? Can your co-worker claim it? Can your neighbor claim it if you're compassionate? Can the one that you don't like claim it? The reality, we do struggle to love people. We just struggle to love those that we don't like. Or they don't like us yet. That attitude or that action isn't biblical. A picture of salvation, that a title, indiscriminating love. Jesus died for all. I don't believe he died for some. He died for all. His love was for all of us. And we've received that love. That means that we should be an ambassador to show that love. Don't give me all the other time and place for standards and all of that. But I'm afraid that we've done too much of that. We've done too much of and now, look, hey, let me help you. Hey, how you doing? We need to quit being discriminating in our compassion. And the piano player and the organ player come to play a song of invitation, a little bit different sermon. But I think I need a sermon. I think I need a sermon. You understand? If they come up, I need a sermon. And only you and the Holy Spirit can think about it, you know. And sometimes think about it. It may not be what you do. It may be what you don't do. I mean, are you going to take your neighbor a pie that you don't like? Or are you going to take a pie to that neighbor that you do like? See? Let's say. And they begin to play. I've already preached. I've already said enough. And God spoke to you. Hey, maybe you can come down here. Maybe you can say, God, forgive me. Maybe say, God, help me. I think we have more of that attitude. I think we will see a difference in our own lives, in our church, and everything. Because that's really where it starts.